I think I'd be remiss if there weren't some questions or if there's some things that you might want a little clarification and or more information about. I may not be able to answer it. Like I said, this whole thing is incredibly complicated. But, yes. Yeah. No, one of the things I'm really... It was about divorce and communion. One of the things I'm hoping that comes out of the Synod, which is starting today, is that we deal with what to me seems like really simple, to me, only me probably, simple solutions to a situation where... okay, so I'm not allowed to play God. People want me to, and sometimes ask me to, and sometimes demand me to. I understand the discipline of divorce and in regard to communion, especially. But I guess what I see, and once again, this is going to get me in trouble. I've got a file probably this big in the chancery already, so why not add a page? Doesn't reconciliation, forgiveness, and coming to meet Jesus, isn't that more of a remedy than making it some sort of a punishment or some sort of barrier? You know, I just don't understand. I'm happy for you that you found a way through it. Now, the internal forum or the external forum, the whole annulment process, I think, has been expedited under Pope Francis recently. I still wish it was faster. I still wish it was more. Forgiving, more understanding. So, once again, nobody asked me what my opinion is about these things. It's just what I wish for.
Sorry. We did ask your opinion.
Okay.
So if you have a question, please raise your hand and I'll bring this to you.
Probably don't need it, but okay.
Yeah, you do. This is being recorded. So
So it better be a good question.
If you don't speak into
yes,
it.
Yes, Father, I really would like to know what can we, not what can you, but what can we as parishioners do to encourage other people, preferably the younger generation, to coming back into the church? Because I've seen so many of them walking away. I even got a granddaughter I'm worried about very much. Mm-hmm. So I suppose what I need is to talk to Colleen. But I'd like to know, can be done?
Yeah. I read in the paper the other day that the largest new religion is former Catholics.
Yeah.
Part of all this is really COVID related, as far as I'm concerned. I think a lot of people, when we were unable to meet, folks got used to, wow, a whole weekend. And I have to admit, I would love a weekend once, and I rarely get it, where I don't have to be anywhere or do anything. And I think that's part of it. So here we are on the other side. And what I think, and you guys can agree or disagree with me, is I think part of the nature of the church over the last, I'm going to say, and Tom, is Tom still here? like the last 10 or so years, maybe 15, that the church has gotten really judgmental and almost punitive, that especially among people in my job, clergy, that there just was this you're not good enough, you're not Catholic enough, you're not whatever, so that it just really got unappealing to be part of this because it was so negative and just, I don't know. You know, if you buy into what I'm trying, I'm not selling anything, but if you see the vision of what we are and who we are in my way, and if you experience Mass this morning or in the last couple of weeks here, where it's really a joyful experience. And, you know, is the burning bush attracting to Moses? Absolutely. Damnation and God's out to get you and blah, blah, blah. Is that going to be attractive? No, no. So my hope is whether you're young, whether you're old, and like I said before, whether you have an issue or you feel like you're so sinful or whatever that you can't really be part of this, know that this is exactly who we need to welcome. And, you know, you've read our sign. I go back to the fact, do we believe these things that we say about ourselves? Do we believe that God is welcoming, that God is forgiving, not the Lord is kind and merciful, but the Lord is kind and merciful, and that's what he hopes for us. So I don't know if that's an adequate answer, but I really do believe that what we need to do and what I think we do well here is really truly to be welcoming, to be open. And I hope when people come to us that they find us that way, that they find, you know, we're not perfect, we're not. There's a lot of things we could do better, but, you know, that's all we can do is keep trying. I'm not going to be perfect. And you have a role too of inviting and encouraging. You know, you can't force. And once again, that's the last thing I would ask you to do, is to say you're going to hell if you don't come to church. No, that ain't going to work either. But just come and see, right? Come and see. That's what I hope we can do.
Father, I thought that I had the opportunity to attend the grandparents' Mass today. Mm-hmm. And I thought your comment at the end of the Mass where you invited the grandparents and kids to come back to Mass on Sundays.
Yeah.
Hope to see you on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think that's a terrific promotion. And it's heartfelt. So that's my only comment. Now my question, since you're a fourth century guy,
yes,
and you've traveled all these places that none of the rest of us have traveled to.
That's not true. You've
well, that's horse manure. Yeah, it is true. You're always telling us where you went. Where did we have these first services? Were they in synagogues?
No, they were in house churches. They were just in houses. You know, so.
No, I'm talking about the third and fourth century when you were able to publicly have your celebration.
Okay, so, and it was Constantine, and he was, his mother, Helen, who found everything you can imagine in Jerusalem that had anything to do with Jesus, whether it's real or not, I don't know, but she found the place where Christ was crucified, the Holy Sepulchre. She found the place where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. And so what they did was they built these Roman buildings, which were basilicas, long, square, public places. And so that's where it first started, was in these public places. And once again, no pews, no anything like that. I'm sure there was an altar. I don't imagine there was any kind of like communion rail or unnecessarily distinctly defined sanctuary. But it was, more importantly, or most importantly, it was a public place to gather, which is what a basilica was. If has anybody been to Rome in the old Forum? There's a building it's sort of halfway there, but you could see what a public basilica was. It's just a big, open, rectangular, basically, space where people could get together.
Was a basilica that you're talking about something that was designed for the celebration of the Mass?
No.
Or was it just for a gathering place for people?
No, initial use was just a public gathering space. It was a shopping mall. And, you know, as you look at our space here, and if you've been to the cathedral, it's the same thing. It's the same building. It's much grander and on the scale of cathedral, but it's the same thing that we have. You know, you could put columns down the middle of these, between the pews on the aisle. It's the same exact design. You know, obviously other places, other churches have, you know, over the centuries and over the last 100 years or so, other architectural things have taken place, but you know the same principles are in hand. If you've been to Sacred Heart in Norfolk, it's a round church. It was scandalous when it was built in the 60s, but it's the same thing. It's still built around a sanctuary, a designated space where the Eucharist those actions take place. It's ambo, altar, you know, etc. But the pews and such were built around and even including behind, which I'm not sure why you'd want to sit there. But yeah, but this is it. What we see here is standard.
Oh, okay. Wait, thank you.
You were asking about how to include younger people and stuff like that, and I think we need to maybe have our homilies focused maybe on or understanding, letting them understand what's going on. Also the music, maybe a teenage choir. And, you know, continuing to have the altar servers even into high school.
Yeah, and we do. So. We do have several servers. In fact, Gary, what's our Saturday night gal's name? Lila.
Our granddaughter.
Yeah, I mean, she's awesome. Joelle.
McCamey.
Yes. Absolutely awesome. I think that pieces of the some of the older kids are I'm sensing that it's starting to come back.
We're
a little bit.
This Saturday night, we invited all the 7th through 12th graders from like Pius Leo, Rel Ed, the high schools to come and do music at 5 p.m. Mass Saturday evening. So, I mean,
last Saturday or
no, this coming.
This coming. Great. Absolutely great.
Thank you.
One of the things you have to understand about high school kids is that their schools have absolute strangleholds on them. Is that true, Tom? Okay. So, they are demanding their time in a number of ways, and it's really difficult to get that age group And there's a bunch of kids that are were core. You know, Danny Stolze. You guys remember her? I haven't seen her in years. I think there's some reasons for that. But I mean, she was rock solid. She was Joelle. She was Lila. She was into high school when she was still serving, but I haven't seen her for years. It is difficult. I can't preach to somebody who's not here either. So what they need to know, and I'm thankful, Tom, that you are inviting, and I think we're making great efforts at reaching out to that age group. And I think when we get around to confirmation and we get around to Christmas, I think you'll see him back. I think there's been an amazing effort and outreach to engage those kids. So it's an ongoing thing.
We have a question back here.
Hey, simple question, Father. Until this evening, I've never heard you talk about the altar as the altar. You always call it at the table. And I wondered, there must be some reason why you usually refer to the altar as the table.
Well, because it's a table. And, and you know, I go back, once, and this is pre-4th century, so that where Eucharist was celebrated was at a table in a family room. That's how it was done. And I really, it's not that I don't respect it or revere it or reverence it as an altar. You know, and I've been around many. I've been in wooden altars, marble, plywood. This is an amazing thing. Yeah, cardboard. Yeah, I celebrated, well, I didn't, but I was at a mass where a cardboard box was used as an altar on the sea, on the Mediterranean Sea, and it was. I was mortified by the fact that, okay, I'm from Nebraska. We don't have water here. I'm at the ocean. Why am I not in it? But we're celebrating Mass in 150 degrees, getting sunstroke for Jesus on a cardboard box. You know, and once again, it's all very good. But I refer to it, and I always say table, because I think there's a familial aspect, as opposed what I understand of what a Eucharist is about is familial Thanksgiving table, and as opposed to an altar, which to me, this is just me, is somehow separate, and I'm not part of this anymore. I'm different than you. I'm better than you, because I get to stand here at this altar. So, once again, here's another piece of paper in the chancery. But to me, it's a table that we gather around. And that was one of the things that the Round Church was trying to deal with, was the fact that we gather around this table. Not, this is my space, this is your space, this is our space. And that's what moving an altar or a table into the assembly can do, is it provides a we-ness, of us, that sometimes this particular scenario doesn't invite.
Somebody over here. And then... Okay, I saw a hand.
Not so much a question as a suggestion. Our music has gotten a lot better lately, but whenever I'm back there setting up for Mass, I tell them, sing like Baptists. You know, loud and happy.
All right.
Okay.
Well, once again, we're white. You just keep that in mind.
Thank you.
Father, may I make a statement and give a question, please?
Sure.
First of all, I really appreciate you describing something so complicated in a way that's very approachable and genuine, because I think that takes a lot of intelligence to do. So thank you. My question is, as fewer men are joining the priesthood and more current priests are retiring or kind of aging out, what could the future of masses look like? Or is there any concern about what the priest shortage is going to do in effect of parishes?
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. There's one issue, and then once again, okay, here's another letter for the bishop or for my file. In the last 10 or so years, we've ordained a bunch of people we can't do anything with. They can't do the job. It's just plain and simple. That's another concern. It's just that and I could speak about, and I really would get in trouble if I spoke my mind on this, but you're absolutely right. We're going to be, you know, and they made a plan. Okay, so we started this family thing. It's been about a year or so, where it's us and Bernard's and I mean, we knew that Leo's and us would be a pair. We've been doing it for 30, 40 years. Bernard's was an add-on. It wasn't, they were a late addition, and that's fine. I mean, don't we love Gadachi? I mean, who wouldn't want to be a partner with him? But in 10 years or so, it's probably going to be, you know, right now there's 5 priests for the 3 places. In 5 years or 10 years, it might be 3 or 2 for the 3 parishes. Just because, when you're absolutely right, we're going to lose a ton of really, really good priests in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. Damien Zerline, right? He was here, right? Excellent man. Awesome. He's right at the end. And I don't blame him if he's going to retire. I hope to live long enough to retire. What are we going to do? This is what I hope the Synod's going to figure out. I hope the Synod is going to actually, they won't solve the problem, but I hope they address it. I hope they seriously address it. It might end up being more communion services. We have, I don't know if you guys know this or not, Fiacre Tola is in the deacon formation program. So we'll have him 4 years. That's how long it takes. But, you know, on the good side is that now the deacons and their wives are back in formation together, where it used to be just, it always used to be deacons and their wives, and then there was a time period where, nope, we don't want you women around at all. It's just going to be the men. And now the wives are back involved, which is, I think, incredibly important. And one of the things I hope is that they consider looking at women as deacons. There's a history of it. I'm not saying anything heretical or sacrilegious, because there were women deacons. And in fact, I got in big trouble with the previous bishop, when this is Curtis, when I challenged him on that. Because he was picking on me, and so I said, "All right, I'll go." All right, you consider yourself very conservative, right? Oh yeah. You can't be a bishop if you're not conservative. You consider yourself very traditional. Oh yeah, you can't be a bishop without being traditional. I said, "All right, so when did tradition start for you?" Because there was a time when women were deacons, and you are negative. You are all about negative, and we get along better now. The Archbishop Curtis and I get along fine. When you lose your job, you lose a lot of power, and a lot of your teeth are gone. So we get along absolutely great. But yes, the role of women in the church needs to expand. I don't think there's any way around that, and I don't see any reason why not. Other than there are guys in my line of work that can't see it that way, and they won't give up, and they won't. They just can't see it, and to me, it's just a tragedy. I was going to say at Mass this morning, how do we get things right so much with this kids' Mass? It's because the girls were doing all of the jobs. And they did it well. And I've been saying this as long as I've been a priest. I prefer and I love my, Cristola's one of the best servers I have, and I like my guy servers, but I prefer the girl servers because I only have to tell them once what to do. And they do it and they remember it. And so why is Lila such a great server? Because she knows everything. She can do it all. She could do my job better if we let her do it. And maybe someday we will.
I have a question for you, Father.
Right. Yes.
And this kind of goes along with yours. I don't know your name, who asked the question about... are there things that we can do as parishes? And it just seems so logical to me that when I heard about us losing priests and combining, I was just like, well, let's just have communion services. And people gasped at that. They were like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I still don't know why. And I'm hoping that you... I'm assuming other people have... come up with that great suggestion too. Mm-hmm. If we can't have women helping, could we have communion services? But there is something that prevents us from doing that liturgically or theologically or something, and I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, there are different things. And, oh my God, how many letters are going to have to be written here? All right, I've gotten in trouble about this one before, so why not revisit it?
You can turn your mic off.
No. I'm not afraid. I think this is a Catholic thing that is somewhat of a difficulty or a misunderstanding, is the tabernacle, all right? I understand why we have it, and I understand the need for it. One of the things I don't understand is it being an object of itself, it being or the Eucharist itself as some sort of an object. You know, I'm not a fan of... God, I'm going to get myself in trouble again. I'm not a fan of adoration. I'm not a fan of benediction. I'm not a fan of any of that because, once again, it objectifies. And what I think of when I see the promotion of things that are that nature is it's more of a priestly look at me and what I can do. See, I can do this. I can put Jesus in a box. I can put Jesus in this monstrance and present this image or this object. Once again, Eucharist is a verb, right? It's to give thanks. It's a receiving. It's not a noun. It's not something to be. The reason the tabernacle came into existence was we needed to take Eucharist to people that couldn't come here. because they were sick or because of some other reason. And so it was just purely a vehicle to, you know, to a certain extent protect, because, yeah, it is sacrament, but it was never meant to be an object. Okay, so your question was about communion services, and I have no problem with that because we've had to do it here. A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when I was sick, and then before that when I was gone, we had Deacon Kevin Fuller, who I hope we're going to get here. They actually live in our parish boundaries. I'm going to grab him and put him to work here, I hope. He was able to do communion services while I was either out of town or sick. Yes, it can take place. I don't know what happened tonight when I fell asleep and I couldn't get moving at 5:30. Liz was there. Did you do the communion service? Okay, see? It can be done. And not a problem. I don't see any problem with it at all. I guess the larger question is, if it's going to just be communion services and there's not enough priests, so is the priest's job going to be to go around to different parishes and consecrate a bucket of hosts that then can be, is that what it's going to come to? And there are places where that is exactly the case. I think in Montana, Sunday is whatever day the priest gets to you. It's a vast territory. There's no priests. Of course, there's no people there either, but there's still communities and pockets of Catholics in that vast space, and so they just have to do Sunday when the priest gets there. And, you know, is that what we're coming to? It could be. I don't know if I've answered your question.
It did. And I, once you started, I remembered that you explained it to me before. And I want to say one comment, a rebuttal, if you will, about the object, that when we objectify, or some people might call it fetishize or whatever, that host is not just Eucharist isn't just a verb, it's also a person. It is the person of Jesus. So, you know.
But my problem is, it's the same problem I have with crucifixes, is that we can encapsulate it or we can pin it down. We can control Jesus, just like we, with the crucifix, we keep him nailed up there. And, okay, 15th letter going out. That's just one of my issues with the crucifix, is that we can manage Jesus, just as I can manage Jesus by either putting him in the tabernacle or putting him in a monstrance and physically managing him. And I just think, God Almighty, he rose from the dead. He broke through he opened the tomb. You know, he's free. It's not something to be captured. And that's my issue. Maybe that's not how you see it. Maybe that's...
That was a good explanation. Thank you.
But, you know, I just haven't...
Did you? Okay. I have time for one more question. And then children are going to be released from religious ed. So you're welcome to stay.
What would you think of married priests?
That's no problem. Once again, that's an old thing. The reason why, one of the main reasons why priests, celibacy was part of a discipline, which is all it is, it's a discipline. The reason why that discipline was imposed on us was, all right, so let's say I'm the priest here, and I am, but let's say I'm married, I occupy a rectory, and I die, what happens to my wife? Who gets the property?
Right.
That's really what it boils down to, was it was a property issue that the church couldn't afford to give up property because of the fact that women are tougher than men. Smarter, tougher, whatever you want to go.
Stubborn.
So it's would it come back? No. I don't, John Paul II, I don't know what your opinions are about him. He's not my favorite person. But he put basically an end on the idea of ordaining women. And I think he also basically put a kibosh on ever having married clergy again. Those are a couple solutions. Is the church willing to let the ship go down? I think they are, actually. I mean, the good news is, Francis, whether you like him or not, I think he's been a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And I hope he lives for another, I wish he would live for another 10 years. That ain't going to happen. But he's been able to reorganize a lot of things structurally, institutionally, personnel-wise in the church that hopefully will survive him, and that we can at least keep moving in that direction. So with his leadership, I think there's a lot more possibilities. I can't say anything definitive, but I think the questions will remain open rather than absolutely not, which is what the old form was. Well, thank you for enduring me. There's always this is incredibly complicated. I'm open to whatever. That was one of the things that I left the kids' mass this morning with, was basically open our eyes, open our hearts. If we can do both of those things, there's a lot of possibility and a lot of hope if we can do those two things. So you guys have a good night. Thanks for coming.
I have another question. What do I do with this mic?
I have a one suggestion that I don't think you're going to.
Thank you.
I think I did.
So where'd our puppy go?
This is my first night.